So, Father, we come before you, and we thank you for who you are. And, Lord, we just give you this time this morning. Lord, my prayer this morning is that, Holy Spirit, you would speak through me, and that you'd speak to every heart that is in this room and every heart that is watching. I pray, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Help us, Lord, take any distraction away from us right now. Help us to silence our mobile devices. And Lord, help us to look to you. And Lord, I do pray for those who are sick in this fellowship. Many people are. Just pray for your healing hand to be upon them. From the top of their heads to the soles of their feet, Lord, you would heal them. Again, Lord, thank you for your faithfulness and your grace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Psalm 103 is Old Testament. It's a psalm of David. And Charles Spurgeon made this comment about this psalm. He says, there's too much in the psalm for 1,000 pens to write. It's one of those all-comprehending scriptures, which is a Bible in itself, and it might alone almost suffice for the hymn book of the church. This psalm is a psalm that we as Christians, we should know this psalm. It's a song of God's grace and mercy. And listen, when you go through the book of Psalms, one thing you need to understand is these were songs that were sung. Okay? And so this is a song of God's grace and mercy. And so verse 1 of 103 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name." In fact, there's a song, I'll spare you, I won't sing. I don't want you to leave. There's a song based on this verse in this psalm. And what is basically David is saying here is saying from the deepest parts of him, he is blessing the Lord. And when it says bless, the idea there is literally to kneel, to comprehend. You know, he's in a sense kneeling before God because of the blessings that God gives to us. And so one thing you're going to notice here, and it starts in verse 1, is he has L-O-R-D, capital L-O-R-D, that's the Lord, okay? The Hebrew for that word is Jehovah or Yahweh. The idea there is the self-existent covenant God. And he uses it 11 times in this psalm. So when you see the Lord use something over and over again, it's important. And so it's a reminder that he is blessing the Lord. He is blessing the self-existent God. He is blessing the covenant God. You know, God is a God of covenant. He keeps his promises with his people. And so, verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And then he says this, "and forget not all his benefits." Now, why would he say that? Well, because we forget his benefits. And what are his benefits? That Hebrew word, the idea there is a kindness shown, something that aids or promotes well-being. And see, it's something to keep in mind. God meets all of our needs. See, look, do you believe that God loves you? Do you believe that God wants what's best for you? And of course, the answer would be yes. And you know, as we go throughout the rest of this psalm, we're going to study these different benefits. So I'm going to read them off to you, okay, these benefits that we have from the Lord, and tell me if you're not excited about this. We have forgiveness of sins. We have healing, physical, spiritual, emotional. We have redemption from destruction. We have loving kindness and mercy. We have daily provision and satisfaction. We have renewal and strength, righteousness and justice, compassion and patience, removal of sin's guilt. We have fatherly compassion, everlasting love, salvation and eternal life, and we have peace, and we have guidance and wisdom and hope and future glory. So in other words, it's good to know the Lord. And look, I realize in staying before you this evening, this morning, some of you may have been struggling. Look, I'm not naive enough to know, like, this time of season, Christmas can be a joyous time, but also can be very painful for various reasons. And so, you know, it's my belief, the reason the Holy Spirit led me to do this is because to remind you that God does love you, and that knowing him, you have these benefits. And so let's continue. So, verse 2 again, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And then he says this, he says, "who forgives all of your iniquities." And when he says forgives, that word forgive means to release, to pardon. And iniquities is wickedness or sin. So God forgives all of your sins. In fact, in Psalm 86, David would write that God is ready to forgive you of your sin, if you just simply ask him. And when you ask him, he forgives you, your past, your present, your future. You know, look, one of the issues we have oftentimes is that we ask God to forgive us, but for some reason we want to live in the past. Here's the thing, I'm here to tell you, you can't change your past. You can't. But here's what can happen. You ask God to forgive you, you're forgiven. You just keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. And as you move forward, who you're moving forward to? You're moving forward to God himself. Because someday, if you have asked him to forgive you of your sin, you're going to be in his very presence. So that's going to be, there's no comparison between trying to live in your past and being in his presence. Being in his presence is going to be so much greater. And so David is reminding us, God forgives all of your iniquities. He pardons, he releases all of your sins. And we'll talk more about that as we get through this psalm. And then it says, who heals all your diseases. Now, heals, the idea there obviously is to heal, to restore to normal. He heals all of your diseases. Now, obviously, you'll be like, Pastor, wait a minute. I've been dealing with this one thing and God hasn't healed me. Okay, that's true. God doesn't always necessarily heal, but should we stop asking him? No, we should keep asking him. And sometimes, listen, the reason he doesn't heal us is he wants to do something in our life. He wants to change and mold and shape our character. But that doesn't mean we don't stop asking him to heal, because God can heal. Listen, I've prayed for people here in this church and they've been healed. Some of you I pray for every week to be healed. Some of you do get healed, some of you don't. And sometimes healing comes through a surgery or a treatment or medicine, however you want to say it. But God is the one who's directing it. Make sense? Again, it's another benefit, you know. And healing isn't necessarily physical. Every time we think of healing, we think of healing, physical healing. But what about emotional healing? You know, some of you have been with your family during the holidays, and let's be honest, you're hurt. You're hurt. And you're in pain. And you're heartbroken. See, God can heal that brokenness of your heart, can he? He can heal you. He goes on. And he says, verse 4, so he forgives all your iniquities, he heals all your diseases, then he says he redeems your life from destruction. And that word for destruction literally in the Hebrew is grave or pit. Wow, he redeems you. That is, he delivers you. He saves you from the pit. How can you not be happy about that this morning? If you're a believer here this morning, Jesus has literally saved you from the pit of hell. You should be encouraged by that. He goes on, he says, who crowns? The idea of crowns is honor. So it's like God putting a crown on your head. Listen to this. With loving kindness and tender mercies. Now, loving kindness, this is interesting because when I taught through the Psalms about a year ago, this word kept coming up, loving kindness. So I looked up in the Hebrew, and loving kindness can be translated, loving kindness can be translated mercy. And it's this word, listen to what it literally says. It literally means loyal love. It's the loyal love of God, an unfailing kind of love, kindness, or goodness. That's God's loving kindness. It's unfailing. It's amazing. When you sit and think about God's loving kindness towards you, it should be encouraging to you this morning. So he crowns us with this. He crowns us. It's like putting a crown on our head. So it's almost like God is taking loving kindness and putting it on our heads. What a picture. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, that is compassion. Don't you love the fact that God is compassionate? Because God is compassionate. We have this misunderstanding of God, that God sits on his throne and he waits to throw a lightning bolt and destroy you when you mess up. That's not the Lord. The Lord wants to bless you. The Lord wants to help you. Now, let me preface that by saying, he's not going to bless your sin. He's not going to bless your sin. So don't think that that's what is being said here. That's not what's being said. But see, when we fail, when we fall, God wants to pick us up. Embrace us. You guys remember when you were kids and you were learning to walk, and you know, you would try to walk and then you'd fall, and then who was there to pick you up? Your mommy or your daddy. And that's exactly how God is with us. And then he says, verse 5, who satisfies, that is, literally fills, or fills all our needs, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Not the Philadelphia Eagles, but an eagle. Why would he use a picture of an eagle? Because when we see an eagle, what does an eagle do? An eagle soars. An eagle soars through the air. In fact, put your finger here and turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. When we start up in Bible study in a week or so, we're going to be in Isaiah 40. So Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. This is a famous verse. You know, we see it oftentimes on coasters or coffee mugs. In fact, this verse, God ministered to my heart back in 2022. And so it says this in Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord, I'm already disqualified, forget it. But listen, we live in a culture, right? You move to the next thing, you keep going. There's never any time to just wait. You know, one of the things I love about this time of season is I have time off of work, time off of the church in a sense, and I just chill out and wait. It took me a long time to learn to do that. And so he says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And literally what he's saying here in that word renew is he is literally saying, I'm going to exchange my strength for God's strength. That's what he's saying here. So you may be weak. You may not have strength. That's okay. Exchange it for God's strength. He goes on, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. And see, when you mount up with the wings like eagles, that means you can fly, you know. And oftentimes as Christians, you know, the Lord allows us to fly above the things that are going on in a sense. Has anyone ever experienced that? It's amazing. And then he says, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. You know, we often look at walking with the Lord as like a sprint. Well, it can be at times, but quite frankly, it's just a basic walk. You know, our walk with the Lord can be mountaintop and can be a valley. Absolutely can. But can I tell you, one of the hardest things to deal with is just the mundane day-to-day, right? The mundane day-to-day. You just get up, you go to your job, you do your thing, you raise your kids, whatever you want to say, you do those things. And oftentimes it's like, is anything ever going to change? And see, here's the thing about God. Even though you may not physically see God working, he's always working. He's always working in your life, always working. I can testify to that. Just wake you up. He's always working in your life. Always. Always working. Now back to Psalm 103. So now, verse 6. The Lord executes, or the Lord works or does righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Now, look. The context here, most likely what David is saying is he's referring back to when Israel was in Egypt. Remember, Israel was oppressed in Egypt as Egyptian slaves to Egypt for about 400 years. And then God raised up Moses and delivered them in the Exodus. But see, it just doesn't apply to Israel. It applies to all of us. See, there's justice for the oppressed. Look, is there things in this earth that are evil and wrong and need to have justice brought to them? Yes, but God's going to do it. And he's going to do it in his time. So hang in there and trust him. He will. He'll take care of it in his time. Then he goes on, he says in verse 7, he made known his ways to Moses, referring back to the Old Testament, further in the beginning of the book, his acts to the children of Israel. Now, do me a favor. Put your finger here. Turn to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33 will be verse 12. Exodus 33, verse 12. Wow, we're getting encouragement from the Old Testament? Yeah, we are. How about that? Exodus 33, verse 12. It says this, then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you might also find grace in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me your way. Interesting. Show me your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight. Isn't this interesting? Even Moses asking God, show me your way. Maybe that's your prayer for this coming year. God, show me your way. Not my way. My way doesn't work. My way stinks. My way gets me in trouble. My way confuses me. My way distracts me. Lord, show me your way. Interesting. And consider this nation is your people. Verse 14, and he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Wow. That's supposed to be encouraging to them. That should be encouraging to you as well. Verse 15, then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. See, this is interesting to me because when you read this verse, it's like this. If this isn't your will, God, then don't bring your presence and I won't do it. But how many of us will ask God, show me your way, show me your direction, and he gives us not the direction we're supposed to go, but because we are stubborn, because we are sinful, because we're full of our flesh, we'll go direction we shouldn't. Maybe this in 2026 is the year that you start saying, show me your way, and you just wait, and when he shows the way to go, you go that way. How about that? Verse 16. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the peoples who are upon the face of the earth. See, and this speaks to us as Christians, because when you become a Christian, you are different, guys. We live in a sin-fallen world, but when you become a Christian, you're different. You're set apart. You're set apart from the world and set apart to God. That's amazing. And so the way you react to things, the way you handle things is going to be different than the world handles it. But yet, why do we as Christians sometimes, when we're going through something, we go to the world for help? The world's not going to help you. God can help you. One more verse, verse 17. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. Wonderful. Does God know you by name? Now, before you turn back to Psalm 103, keep your hand there because we're going to be in Exodus 34. So I'm giving you a heads up. All right. So again, verse 7, he has made known his ways to Moses. And when he says ways there, the idea is his conduct and his way of life. How are we supposed to live? God reveals it to us in his word. And then he says in verse 8, the Lord is merciful, that is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. Now turn back to Exodus 34. And so Exodus 34, verse 6, it says this, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering. Everybody say it with me, long-suffering. You're never going to forget it now. And abounding in goodness and truth. See, that's God's character. That's God's character. Some of you need to hear that this morning. God is merciful. He's gracious. He's long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. Amazing stuff here. Encouraging stuff it should be this morning. Now back to Psalm 103. Verse 9, he says, he will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. Now, what he's saying basically here is when he uses that word strive, he will not always chide us, will not always dispute. See, God will not continue to nurse his grievances. See, God's not a human being. God is God. See, that's what we would do, right? We love to nurse our grievances, especially this time of year when we have family members that have hurt us, right? We love to nurse those grievances, right? Well, maybe God wants to take that grievance away. Did you go to him? Hey, God, show me your ways. Well, your ways, God, are to forgive people and move on. Your ways are not to see that person's sin anymore. Do we do that? Interesting. Verse 10, he has not dealt or dealt with us according to our sins. Praise God right there. Praise God right there. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. See, here's the thing. We learn from the New Testament that our sin is the wages of death. We deserve death because of our sin. But see, Jesus paid that price for us. And see, God never deals with us based on our sins. So what's interesting about that to me is, if God doesn't deal with me based on our sins, then how are we to be with other people? If God showed us forgiveness and grace, are we supposed to show other people forgiveness and grace? The answer is absolutely yes. See, when you don't forgive somebody, what you're basically doing is you're hurting yourself. You're hurting yourself. I just read it in the few verses at the beginning. Forgiveness, to release, to pardon, let it go. Does it mean that what they did was right? No. But you let it go. You let it go so you can move on with your life. And forgiveness isn't, I hear this all the time, this is not biblical, so don't get mad at me. I'll forgive but not forget. The Bible doesn't say that. Can you imagine if God did that? I'll forgive you, but I'm never going to forget. That's not how it works. That's not what true forgiveness is. True forgiveness is you let it go, you pardon, you release, and you move on. Amen. Verse 11, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy. Again, you could translate that loving kindness. Listen to what it says. To those who fear him, he's going to use that phrase, to those who fear him. What he's basically saying is, the fear of the Lord is a reverential awe and trust. Do you have a fear of the Lord? Not I'm scared of you, Lord, but more like I respect you, Lord. I revere you. I trust you. Do you have that? See, if we had more of a fear of the Lord in our hearts, we wouldn't do the things we do, would we? And throughout the Psalms, not just this Psalm, but throughout the Psalms, the fear of the Lord is mentioned so many times, and that's what it's getting at. It's a reverential awe of who he is. Wow, I'm not going to do this because of who you are, God. I'm not going to treat this person the way that I want to because of you, God, because you don't treat me that way. See how it works? Then this verse is an awesome verse, verse 12. You can underline it, star it. For as far as the east is from the west. Now, think about that, from the east from the west. If you did that, that means there's no end, right? As far as from the east to the west, so far has he removed, listen to this, our transgressions, which literally is rebellion from us. God has forgiven you of your sins if you ask him. Bless you. Bless you. He has forgiven us of his sins as far as east is from the west. Notice he doesn't say, well, I forgive, but I don't forget. Did he say that? No. See, that should be, look, that one verse should be the money verse for us this morning. Just that one verse should be encouraging. If God has forgiven you, it's like being as far as east is from the west. He's removed our transgressions. He's removed our rebellion from us. And before you come to Christ, you are in rebellion against God. That's the truth. I read something to you about this. God's love in providing this wonderful plan of salvation is immeasurable. It beggars human imagination. It does. Hard to believe, isn't it? If we could measure the distance from the heavens, from the earth, we could get some idea of the magnitude of his love, but we can't. We can't even determine the size of the universe we live in. And talking about his infinite distance, that is exactly how far he has removed our transgressions from us. Just as east is east and west is west, and never the twain shall meet, so the believer and his sins will never meet. Those sins have been put out of God's sight forever by a miracle of love. Wow. That should be encouraging. That should encourage you this morning. He goes on, verse 13, as a father pities, that is, has compassion or shows mercy to his children. Some of you who are fathers this morning, you understand. You show mercy, you show compassion, you show pity to your kids. So the Lord pities those, again, who fear him. Those who have a reverential awe and trust, he does pity and he does have compassion on. Has God ever had compassion on you in your life? Amazing. Verse 14, for he knows our frame, that is, he literally knows our form. He remembers that we are dust. Remember, you know, when we read in the book of Genesis, the beginning of the Bible, how is Adam and Eve created? They're created from the dust. Adam is brought out of the dust, and a man is created by God, the hand of God. He knows our form. See, God knows you better than you know you. You ever notice that? And that's physically, he knows you. He knows your body. Emotionally, he knows you, right? Spiritually, he knows you. He knows you better than anybody else. So why not go to him and ask for help? Interesting. Verse 15, as for man, his days are like grass. That is, they're fragile. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. Verse 16, for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, or it is not, and it place, and its place remembers it no more. See, life, James would put it like this, life is but a vapor. So what are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? Is your life growing like a flower? Or is it wilting away? Verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord, again, could be translated loving kindness, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. In other words, from eternity to eternity. On those who fear him, and in his righteousness to the children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. And see, oftentimes when we think of commandments, we think of the Ten Commandments, but how about this commandment? Jesus would say, we're to love one another. One of the ways that other people know that we are his disciples is the love that we have for one another. How about that commandment? Uh-oh, we don't like that commandment. And quite frankly, Jesus would say, you want to sum the commandments up? Up, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. There you go. Pretty simple stuff, isn't it? It is humanly impossible to do that, isn't it? That's why we go to a Savior, because Jesus is the only one who kept the law. See how it's supposed to work? It's funny, we keep going through this and it keeps coming back to we need to go to the Lord. Isn't that funny? Verse 19, then the Lord has established his throne in heaven, wonderful, and his kingdom rules over all. See, God's firm and universal dominion is a pledge that he will keep his promises. See, God is established forever. See, God is forever. He's eternal. So you think you're going to stop that? You think that that's not a firm foundation for our lives? Absolutely it is. We keep going. Verse 20. And look, it's interesting. David's going to end this psalm as he started it, except this time he's going to call on the angels to bless the Lord too. He says, bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, verse 21, all you his hosts, you ministers of his who do his pleasure. And in Hebrews chapter 1, it says that literally angels are ministers of the Lord. And then verse 22, bless the Lord in all his works, in all places of his dominion. See, all his works, creatures of every sort, everywhere. God is the creator. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God created you? See, God doesn't make mistakes. See, you were created for a purpose. The number one purpose you were created for is to have fellowship with God and to worship him. And then here's what's cool. You enter in a relationship with God through his son Jesus. Then he, not only do you have a fellowship with him and you get to worship him, but now he gives you something to do with your life. He gives you something to do with your life. Only you know that, because only God's going to be the one to tell you what that is. Amazing. And then he ends the psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Wow. See, we need to understand something as human beings. We are never lost in God's big picture, are we? See, God loves you. He does. How do I know that? Look at that. Right there should tell you that God loves you, that God sent his only son for you to take your place. You deserve to be on that cross, but he took your place. He shed his blood, the blood that if we trust in him, washes our sins away. See, in the Old Testament, they had all these animal sacrifices, and that blood could only cover their sin. But it was always looking forward to the one and ultimate sacrifice on the cross of Jesus. See, that blood doesn't cover our sin. It washes it away. Then he was buried and raised again. And see, here's the thing. If we trust in him, if we ask God to forgive us of our sins, we are forgiven of our sins, and then we are going to be raised again too, just like Jesus was. And we're going to be in his presence. And see, again, all of these benefits we have from God. So do you know God this morning? Do you know him? If you don't know him, may I strongly urge you as a pastor here this morning that you would get to know him, that you would surrender your life to him, that you would simply ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life, and he will do that if you sincerely mean that. He wants to forgive you. He wants to love you. And here's the other thing. He wants to bless you too. So let me, as a recap here, as we end up, here are the benefits of God. You ready? Forgiveness of sins. Who's opposed to that? Healing, physical, spiritual, emotional. Who doesn't like that? Okay, still no hands. Redemption from destruction. Oh, no hands. Loving kindness and mercy. Daily provision and satisfaction. Renewal and strength. See, I don't know what you're going through, but God does. God can give you the strength to get through whatever you're going through. You just got to ask him for it, and he'll give it to you. Righteousness and justice. Compassion and patience. No hands yet who are opposed to that. Okay, good. Removal of sin's guilt. Okay. Fatherly compassion. Who doesn't want fatherly compassion? Now look, some of you may have had a terrible earthly father. Understand God's not like that. God is merciful and loving and cares for you. How about everlasting love? Anybody opposed to everlasting love? How about salvation and eternal life? Are you opposed to that? Anybody? Yeah. Peace. Whew, something we really lack in our culture today, right? Peace. You know, it's interesting because, well, I'll read two verses to you to encourage you in there. The first one is from Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah 26, verse 3. God says through his word, the prophet Isaiah says, "You will keep him in perfect peace." Listen to what it says here, though. "Whose mind is stayed on you." And don't forget the rest of the verse. A lot of us don't say the rest of the verse. "Because he trusts in you." Do you trust in him? See, if you trust in God, he's going to give your mind peace, a perfect peace, a complete peace, if you trust him. And then another place, New Testament, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, he says this, and somebody here needs to hear this morning, because the Lord is telling me I need to share these verses. He says this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer," which is talking to God, "and supplication," that's giving our personal requests, "and with thanksgiving." Do you thank God? "Let your requests be made known to God." And listen to what it says. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." So God wants to give you that peace this morning. Do you have that peace? God wants to give you that peace. And listen, we walk in our life and we have to go through things. Things happen. And sometimes we start to lose that peace in a sense. Where do we go back? We go to the firm foundation. Remember his benefits, that he can provide that peace for us. And we ask him for peace. Do you know something I keep saying about this is ask? It means you're having a dialogue. It means you're praying. You're talking to God. Do you talk to God? So not only do we have peace, we also have guidance and wisdom. And listen, some of us coming into this new year, we have to make some decisions, some big decisions in our life. Do you ask God to give you wisdom to make that decision? And are you willing to wait to make a decision until he gives you a clear path? Are you willing to wait? Are you willing to wait for him to show you that clear wisdom of what to do? And then lastly, he gives us a hope and a future glory. See, if you know God this morning, if he is your Savior, you're going to be in heaven someday. It is going to be awesome. And just that truth alone should change your life. Listen, I hope it was achieved today that you are encouraged. Some of you needed to hear this. I needed to hear it. God loves you. He has benefits for you. Do you know him? And if you know him, do you trust him? Do you trust him? As we end this year, we enter into a new year, consider these things. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. We'll talk about the demon locust next week. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the truth of your scriptures. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you love us. And thank you that we have these benefits. You said, if we fear and trust you. So help us, Lord, to fear and trust you, to have a reverence and awe and respect for you, Lord. And Lord, I do pray for anyone here this morning who does not know you. Maybe they're even watching online. If they don't know you this morning, would they realize they need a relationship with you? Would they simply just admit that they're a sinner and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know and believe you died on the cross for my sins. Jesus, forgive me and be the Lord of my life from this day forward. And if that's that person, if they said it here in this room, if they said it online, would they come forward after the service? Would they contact the church if they saw it online? And for the rest of us, Lord, who do know you, would this be a reminder? Would this be a blessing to us, an encouragement as we leave this year we're in and go into the new year? Would it be a blessing and encouragement to us to know that you love us? And would we be those, like David said in his psalm, would we bless the Lord with all our soul and all that is within us? Bless his holy name. God, we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.